Hey, it's Herbert. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
I was with Marin backstage at the store, and
we get it. You work.
He was doing what he does, which is a lot of times talking shit about the comedian who's currently on stage.
Yes, and which, by the way, I've definitely brought him up. So once he did it the first time with me, I start laughing, and then
that's our immediate thought is, oh, so this is just whoever's back here while I'm on stage.
Yeah,
you're back here going, really, another fucking dwarf joke. We get it.
Probably, yeah.
And we get it. You're tiny.
You're a Jew. Your folks split when you were 9. Whose folks didn't talk about splitting at some point?
It's just one of those things. It's almost like a Rickles thing where it's a rite of passage. I want Mark Maron to shit on me.
Yeah, to be a curmudgeon.
Not in a sexy way, but it could be.
Well, it depends if it's funny. If it's funny, defecation on the chest. Hey, talk to Germany.
How many likes is it getting? I don't know if you saw that video of that concert on TMZ. I don't know if you've seen this video.
Which one?
Have you seen this? It's in the news. Have you seen this?
Well, what concert?
We just lost Mort Saul, so I feel like I have to do what's in the news.
Nice.
Nice little Mort Saul reference for the kids. For the kids, they know Mort Saul. Anyway,
on my list of things to talk about, Mort Saul's death
Mort
was not
Saul's
there.
Death, but you know what? It should be.
It should be.
We have
a classic. If you know anything, I do appreciate at least that you mention him. Yeah. And now you're poking fun at yourself for mentioning him and how it dates you. But guess what? If you're a comedy savant, or comedy fan, you gotta know the greats.
Hey man, one time I was in Mill Valley. I'll get back to the. What's the video that is on TMZ? Because your producer just smiled.
And then before that, I want to finish that Marin story because then I have a Marin story after that. And this is, by the way, what we did when you were on the pod.
This is what
we did.
We
would start a conversation, go in 90 different directions.
We have to put like flags at 4 or 5 different parts. Like, okay, these are 5 different stories that we'll go back to.
Or like Hansel and Gretel, leave little crumbs or Skittles or gefilte fish.
I mean, yes, exactly. we leave the dwarf version. We leave the Jewish version. Is it gefilte fish? Is it just guilt?
Yeah.
You just leave spots of guilt.
Leave little
not guilt.
Self-help books.
Guilt.
Wait, real quick. Have you had gefilte fish?
One time. And my roommate in college is Jewish. You met Josh.
I take back the and, I thought you were about to say. I thought you were about to say my roommate in college gave me gefilte fish. And I was like, hey.
Oh, horrible roommate.
A, don't eat gefilte fish in college. I think I rented that. But also B, don't eat
from the makers of chicken soup from the soul. Comes don't eat gefilte fish in college. Didn't sell as much. Wasn't as good.
But anything in college that your roommate goes, hey, you want to try this? If it's food.
Guys in general.
Yeah,
hey, do you want to try this? No.
Yeah, dude. I'm talking if
it's
you're
always
a guy
a fart.
On
it's
the receiving
always,
end or a girl.
Yeah. No, like, no. Very few guys that I know take a bite of something and go, that is fucking amazing. Have this.
Yeah.
No. They go, that is fucking horrible. Have this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if they want you to try it,
this
it's
tastes
gonna taste
like a
butt.
Skunk's taint.
Yeah.
You want a bite?
Yeah, exactly. And then as a dude, you go, well, yeah.
Why is that? Where do we get off wanting to try everything and taste anything?
I don't know. We saw his face, and then the face was just, ugh, and then we're like, well, we have to do that. That's just something we have to experience.
Because we're not more adventurous.
No. I don't know what that is. Like, women don't do that, and yet women lick balls, so they know what disgusting tastes like.
And you said you wouldn't learn anything on the podcast today.
So it's not that women don't do anything disgusting.
Right.
They do disgusting shit. We all do disgusting shit. But it's never like, Cheryl, get over here. This tastes like...
You gotta taste these balls.
You gotta taste these balls. I don't know what the kids are doing. Maybe they're doing that. I'm not sure.
Brian, I know.
I love how you're like 80 years old in this pod. You're like, I don't know what the kids are doing. Mort Saul.
I don't know what the kids are doing, but let me tell you about Mort Saul.
My colleague.
Listen, I turned 37. I'm a dad now. Adam's almost 40. I'm not supposed to mention that because you're still going out for 25-year-old roles.
Oprah said, true. Well, probably more 29, and by that I mean 38. Oprah said 40 is the new 15. Okay. Now, Brian, just because it's hot in the headphones doesn't mean we're hot on the mic, right?
No, I just blasted the headphones.
God bless you.
Okay.
Do you want me to turn it down?
No, it's perfect.
Okay.
We have the video pulled up, and this is the video.
We'll do it with no sound.
Oh, this is the concert copyright. I was telling you
the
about.
The Travis Scott concert?
No. This is, I would I'll get canceled for that joke.
No,
so I'll make it. I would argue.
You can't get canceled.
I would argue
immunity.
This person suffered almost a worse fate. See, I threw in the word almost there to try and save myself.
Oh,
but
God.
Yeah, this is at a concert. I don't what's this person's name?
I don't
rapper,
know her name,
it's
but the,
a singer,
the band
it's
is
a,
called Brass Against.
Brass Against.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, by the way, this is great because there will be a game later in this episode where we play a game called What Does That Band Play? Based on a game that you and I used to do on the pod all the time where we say, make up a band based on a pairing of words
that comes up
spontaneously.
Yeah.
So Brass Against?
Brass Against.
I'll be honest.
Adam hasn't seen this video. So I feel like this is like one of those times where I feel like we're back in the time where I'm showing you the newest version of Two Girls, One Cup.
Wait. Mm-hmm. There's a new one?
This is the sequel.
And I'm saying that jokingly.
Yeah, this is the sequel.
Now, here's a real...
This is Brass Against One Stream.
Against Brass would have been... Again, I already like one of the extras from Accepted is the lead guitarist. Who is that kid? Is it a girl or guy band?
Both.
So the guy playing a trumpet, I'm already on board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Because you like a band with a horn section. There you go. Oh. Gets a fan up there on stage.
Wait, what? Oh,
they're,
no.
Right now they're doing a Rage Against the Machine cover, too.
Okay.
Yeah, they're covering
Pants
Rage Against the
down.
Machine.
I have to assume Pooh is
Fan
next.
Fan is on stage. That's the actual lead
he was
singer.
Wait. No. No.
Look away, Adam. No!
And...
No, God.
Stage
is this...
fright.
Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, my God. Is he squirting? Is that a guy?
She.
No, that's a she.
What did you think was
it's
happening?
It's so fast. It's coming out so fast. That's not normal pee. There's got to be a Nickelodeon squirt machine inside of her cervix.
What?
And the guy is pumping his fist.
Why weren't they covering R. Kelly?
So funny. Oh, my God. Why would anyone, and this is a question for the listeners, too.
She brought up for the listeners.
Is a song called Who Wants My Piss?
I mean that's a deep Rage Against the Machine cover that I don't know about yet.
Yeah,
I
haven't heard that one.
What led up to that?
I don't know how she got the guy on stage. Her parents divorced. That's what led up to it.
Hey man, I'm a product of divorce,
and
ain't no one peeing on my face on stage. Off stage, whole other thing.
Whole other thing. What you and Pickles do in your private life, we're not talking about.
I did have to wipe some poo from Pickles' ass today.
I mean.
If that doesn't prep me for fatherhood.
You and I have both wiped poo. I did it from two different species. I got a dog. I got a baby.
Which do you start with if push comes to shove?
Oh, I walk the dog. No, I go in and I change her diaper first thing in the morning. So it'll always start with baby. And then I walk the dog about 30 minutes after that. So, yeah. But, yeah, that's my routine.
So you're wiping. Now, does it ever make its way up to Diego's balls?
No, because he's neutered, so he doesn't have any balls.
They take him off? I thought they just take out his ability to nut.
How do you think they do that? They take out the balls.
We'll be right back.
This is Adam learns what Bob Barker was saying the entire time.
Yo, I up
also,
until
you
this
thought
point
that was a guy squirting. So you don't know anything about bodies at all.
Adam saw someone squat over someone and liquid come out and went, "Oh, it's a dude squirting." That sounds more logical than a woman pissing.
Babies come out of the butt, right?
That's how much Adam doesn't think women confront bands. He's like, well, it can't be a female lead singer.
That's so funny. I literally saw him bend over, saw pee come out, and goes, did he tuck his penis?
Is he doing... Is that a Blumpkin?
What's going on? A reverse Blumpkin.
That's what happened.
That's disgusting.
From the band called Brass.
Now, that fan, this should not be skipped over. That fan pumped his fist like his favorite sports team won the championship and he was courtside.
I mean.
So what is your band, Brad, if they called you up on stage and said, hey, guess what? We're bringing you up on stage, but it's a surprise on what you get to do.
Yeah.
There's been that famous video of the girl who gets to play guitar or drum with the Foo Fighters?
Drum with the Foo Fighters.
Drum with the Foo Fighters, which is amazing. Bublé has brought up fans that have like crushed it. I think, again, famously, there's a kid, I think, in London that he brought up that just ripped it and sang one of his songs and crushed it unexpectedly. Man. Obviously, Susan Boyle, even though she was already a part of the competition, but if we're just going on...
You just got to pick her belly button lint.
If we're going on the fact of people that blow your minds, you know, unexpectedly. So who's that band when they go, Brad Williams, we're giving you a couple tickets. Your plus one's probably going to dip out once they see you, what happens to you on stage. But...
Absolutely.
Who's the band that you go, we want to pee on you on stage?
I mean, God, like my favorite band.
Yeah.
I've seen them twice. AC/DC. And if Brian Johnson's up there going, oh, yeah, you. We want to pee on you. I'd be like, okay, Mr. Brian Johnson. And
wow,
I would go up there. And they would stick the microphone in my face while Angus Young was peeing on me, and I would go, hell ain't a bad place to be. Yeah. That's a deep cut AC/DC song.
Wow.
Ha!
That'd be a short, big prostate piss, too. So it'd be free,
right, because they're 90.
But small.
Yeah, it would just come in like, drip.
Yeah, you're
drip, drip, drip. Like, it'd be like Chinese water torture.
Right.
Ah, oh, God, my wife's Chinese. Yeah. There you go.
You can say that. That's why you can say that.
I can. All right.
Also your kid, right?
Yeah, what? Quarter?
Yeah.
So I can. It's my new favorite joke on stage. I go on stage and I go, I'm in a mixed race relationship. My wife is half Chinese. I'm half. And I just stop.
That's great.
And I just wait for
That's
the audience
great. To figure
the
it out.
The majority laugh, and then some just stare at me and go, is it German?
Oh, and Mark Maron goes, of course.
Yeah. Of course, this guy. No, it's good. It's his thing. It's fine. It's whatever. Yeah.
Great. Another dwarf.
Boomer lives.
Yeah. So Maron's talking shit about someone. We're coming all the way back. And then I look at Maron. I go, here's how you write a Marc Maron joke.
Ooh.
You bring up a topic that a lot of people think is good.
Mm-hmm.
You say it's good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go, is it?
Wow. It's the old Adam Ray Folger's method.
Yeah. So we're going to write a Marc Maron joke
right now.
I can't wait.
What's the topic?
Morning blow jobs. Great. Are they?
You haven't even brushed your teeth. She definitely hasn't brushed hers. Now you got morning breath on your cock.
Yeah. That's how you write a Marc Maron joke.
Wow.
Root beer floats. They're fantastic. Are they? I don't know. It's a lot of sugar.
Now
I'm getting older. I want to keep my feet.
Now on the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
Is it?
Let's hear Seinfeld approaching both those topics. First, the root beer float.
What's the deal with root beer floats? You already had ice cream. It's done. There's no more you need to do to ice cream. Vanilla ice cream. It's delicious. No one ever had vanilla ice cream and said, it's missing something.
If anything, the ice cream's not floating. They should call it root beer ruined it. Because the root beer just washes away the cream.
The ice cream doesn't even float. It sinks. It should be called root beer sinks. We should go out for some delicious root beer sinks.
Grab the kids.
What's the deal with A&W?
I'm more of a Boggs guy anyway.
I'm more of a Boggs guy. I heard it's got bite.
Boggs has bite.
But what I want my root beer to bite me.
Well, speaking of bite, speaking of bites, since where's Crime Dog McGruff? He was supposed to take a bite out of crime. School shootings have gone up in the last 10 years.
Wow, Seinfeld's been turned over.
Yeah.
From root beer floats to school shootings. It's really getting edgy for the kids.
Well, that's the name of the album.
And thankfully, Mark liked it that I made that observation.
He did.
About his humor, that you just take something, delightful, and then you go, is
Yo,
it?
I've had some really pleasant Marc Maron experiences in the last five times at the store where it's been, you know, and we were joking, you know, about his point of view. But it's also like, apparently he's been that way forever. I even asked him, I was like, have you always been this Marc Maron? Because like you've seen old clips of Louis, of him being kind of a little more polished and kind of hokey, you know, not as, you know, he evolved.
Yeah.
And Mark's like, yeah, I've always pretty much been a version of this. He's like, obviously a little, he's like, I moved more, you know, he's like, you know, and I was like, yeah, and you had that hat on. He's like, oh yeah, yeah, you know, but yeah, that's a guy that you, is it ever lost on you when you're at the store? And I know I was joking when you said, you know, I was at the store and like, oh, I get it. You work, but you're a paid regular.
Yeah.
Which has been now for what, 3 years, 2 years?
Oh, it's weird with COVID.
Yeah.
Getting thrown into the mix, I forget a year it existed.
This has been the most consistent.
4 years.
4 years, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So to consistently be going up there and to be, you know, just around the culture and on the lineups and to be able to talk about, like, you know, these guys that, you know, become your peers that are, I mean, Mark's been doing it for 30 years, dude. And it's like, that's not lost on me when I talk to him or see him go up where I'm like, you know, it's like, again, to go back to joking about not knowing – having any Mort Saul knowledge, it's like, dude, there are kids who maybe only know Mark from the podcast or don't even really know
or
see
him from Conan because
they're looking at like
Air America,
young flashy trading card comics that they came up with, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's like it's cool to know what we know and even have done deep dives and looked at clips, you know, like of his old late night appearances, and to see the progression and then to be around it is very cool.
Yeah, I mean, we've all had those moments. I will bring it back and tell a Mort Saul story
because
I've actually met the man.
Whoa.
This was the night that it was the night after I met Robin. I was in Mill Valley, California, and I was at the Throckmorton Theater, and I did a set at the Throckmorton Theater. I didn't know Robin Williams was in the audience. This is a story I tell on morning radio all the time.
Still great.
But, I didn't know Robin was there. He came up to me after the show, burst into the green room. I didn't know Robin was there, and all of a sudden Robin Williams just burst into a green room, and I'm like, what the? and he just runs in and goes, oh my God, Mr. Williams, you're like Prozac with a head. And I'm just like, that's the greatest compliment.
I know. I think you've used it on an album, right?
Yeah.
It truly is the greatest compliment, and you're getting it from one of the true all-time greats.
All-time greats, and on my personal Mount Rushmore comedy.
And so, you know for sure that he came in, he didn't think about what he was going to say.
No.
He probably came in, saw you, you know, because who knows if he knew he was going back and if you'd still be there, whatever.
He was just going back.
So that's, to me, what I really love about that, is that he came in,
pure.
Saw you, and then that came into his head, and he fucking said
sitting there testing out compliments to dwarf comedians to his kids. Zelda, get over here. I got a thing. Like,
what if I meet this guy, Brad Williams? What do I say to him?
Yeah.
Prozac, is that a funny joke?
Yeah.
What's a funnier medicine?
Yeah. Zoloft or the head. No.
Doesn't have a ring to it. Ring, doorbell. Ring, doorbell. New inventions.
So that night, he said, hey, I'm doing a show here tomorrow. Do you want to watch the show? And I said, yeah, of course. I was going to drive back, but I'm like, no, I'm going
to. He invites you to do anything, you say yes.
Yeah. Like, if he was like, do you want to go on a bike ride tomorrow? I'm like, well, I don't have a bike here that I can use, but unless you got a tricycle, I don't know. Like,
what
I'll figure it out.
Even if he was like, yo, I've kidnapped Mini Kiss, the band, and they're tied up in my basement, and then they want you to pee on them. Would you pee on them for me? Like,
yeah.
I have to, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They got to get the makeup off somehow.
Ho, 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 Santa Claus here. The holiday season is right around the corner, and with it comes the yearly questions of what do I wear to non-ugly sweater parties that my ex invited me to, and how do I maximize my time savoring holiday moments and minimizing my time for shopping for gifts at the fucking mall. Well, fear not, weary holiday wanderer. Mack Weldon has all the answers. Santa's having a stroke. Whether it's an office party, a party with family and friends, or just a holiday party of you, your couch, and a game on the tube, Mack Weldon has all the essentials to keep you stylish and comfortable throughout the season. And their innovative daily wear system has taken the hard work out of outfit planning with pieces designed to work together for any occasion, saving you time and sparing you any extra holiday stress. We're talking top-notch tops, best-selling bottoms, and underwear and accessories that will please even the scroogiest guys on your list. That's Ebenezer to you.
Fuck off. With Mack Weldon, your holiday heavy lifting will be complete within minutes. I've been fucking with the Mack Weldon Ace sweatshirt and sweatpants for years, and the Warm Knit Collection is truly the warmest shit you can wear. It's a perfect gift for your holiday, family member, sister, lover, ex-lover, pet, you name it. I'm somewhat of a stickler when it comes to comfortable sweatpants and sweatshirts. I'm kind of a comfy snob. So I was initially skeptical when I heard that the hype around Mack Weldon's Ace Collection was so big. But man, I was proven wrong. Pairing super soft, high-performance fabric with unmatched style, these have truly become the pieces I live in, whether I'm hanging at home or running errands around the town. This former sweat skeptic has a new outlook, baby. Don't sweat it. Just trust Mack Weldon. I don't want to be like a walking fucking popsicle. It just doesn't suit me. But with Mack Weldon's Warm Knit Collection featuring vest, shirts, pajama pants, and more, the chilly winter days are behind you. Using innovative technology that uses your own body heat to keep you at the perfect temperature, these products from Mack Weldon have me saying something I never would. I'm ready for the cold, baby! This holiday season, every guy deserves to wear unforgettable clothes that he loves for the moments with loved ones that he'll never forget. That's why Mack Weldon is always on my holiday list for giving and getting. So, for ALN listeners, for 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com/ALN and enter the promo code ALN. That's MackWeldon.com/ALN, promo code ALN for 20% off Mack Weldon. Get it right, get it going, and start fucking feeling better in your body and your clothes with Mack Weldon this holiday season. Bye.
He invites me back the next day, and I go and I watch the show, and of course it's phenomenal.
Of course.
And then I go backstage afterward. And in the back is Robin Williams, Dana Carvey, and Mort Saul.
Marry, and, fuck, kill.
I would marry Robin. Definitely fuck Dana.
You have to.
I gotta fuck Dana. He's a friend.
He's a friend. He's one of our true pals, and he's probably a funny fuck, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of voices.
He's a funny fuck in a
Who's
lot of
Who's he gonna
ways.
Come like? George W?
Yeah.
Or Church Lady, probably.
That's how Dana Carvey comes.
Can I finish?
Yes, he can. Twice.
Larry, can I finish? My name's Brad.
And then unfortunately I would kill Mort. But
yeah.
I got to sit there.
By the way, couldn't not finish the game.
Oh, yeah. You gotta complete the show.
Yeah.
And I'm just watching them talk and watching them talk about comedy. And my opening act at the time, who's a great headliner now, Jeff Keith.
Hilarious.
He was there with me, and I just grabbed Jeff by the arm and I went, "Don't say anything." Because I was just like,
good move.
We don't belong here.
No, read the room.
Yeah, I don't want to be that guy that stands up and says, "Oh, Mort Saul, let me tell you about comedy."
No.
No, fuck no. So I'm just like, I'm just going to stay here and I'm just going
to
listen.
You know they don't want you to chime in either.
No, and they're having a moment. Yes. And I felt like I was watching, like, for comedy, that's watching Paul McCartney talk to Mick Jagger and just have stories.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's that level.
Truly.
So I got to be there and watch that and then just, you know, sit back. I wish I could tell you what they said. But
Doesn't matter.
I'm sure they were just talking about their days, but at the same time.
You black
time,
out in those moments,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was just like, oh my God. And there numerous times at the store.
Let's go through the amount of, I was just telling a buddy up in Seattle the other day because he was like, I was telling him about bringing Lily James to the Comedy Store. She's playing Pam Anderson in the Hulu show Pam and Tommy that I'm in. Yeah. And so she came. She'd never been.
She's in one of my favorite movies of all time.
What's that?
Baby Driver.
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie.
Crushes it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A couple weeks later, brought Steve Levy, our buddy from ESPN. And it was cool to see people who'd never been to the store and take them around and, you know what I'm saying? Like, truly give them a little into every room, a little history thing. And then it made me, it was almost probably the way it is when people talk about having a kid and you get to kind of re-see things, you know, and grow up again.
Yeah.
It was cool. It gave me like an extra appreciation for the store, seeing it through their eyes. But my point here being is the amount of comics and staff members who were big fans of both, and let's just say Steve Levy, for example, a lot of dudes were geeking out sports-wise.
Yeah.
And couldn't believe, like Brent, Brent's, Steve's next to me in the OR buckets, and Brent comes in, I go, Brent's my buddy Steve. He goes, what's up, man? He goes, holy shit. He goes, he goes, oh my God. And he just immediately does this.
Well, because like there's certain people, and I would put most of the ESPN personalities up there, where it's like, no.
Who've been there for 30 years.
You only exist there. You, it's like running into your teacher at the grocery store.
Great
it's
way.
Like, you don't, you're not real. You're not out here just buying bread.
Yeah.
No.
And if you are, you're commenting about how the bread is, you know, you know.
Yeah. If what if you're, yeah, if you're Steve Levy, you got some sort of weird SportsCenter
analogy
catchphrase in terms of like, and just like that, the white bread falls because white bread can't jump or something like that off the dome. I know it's bad, but whatever.
No.
So yeah, like I totally get that. I totally get you seeing people and seeing people at the store where you just go, oh, you're a person.
Yep.
You go out and you do stuff.
Totally. And so many have come through over the years. So I was, you know, spitting off a list. Who, let's just go back and forth. Who have you had interactions with or seen there or performed for and didn't know it?
Well, the one and all these people I've talked to on separate occasions, but there was one time where I was walking in that hallway between the original room and the main, and in the hallway was Kreischer.
I thought you were about to say Christ.
Christ,
I'm not even joking.
Christ himself. Christ himself was back.
What do you look like?
And, you know, he was pissed at too many Jews.
You touch his face and go, there you are, Peter.
It was Kreischer, Gaffigan, Rogan, and Theo, and I'm just sitting there like, all right, I'm going to hang out here.
Squeeze in
just
here, yeah.
Talk to these people.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of be there and listen to them talk. And they're having a conversation about tour buses.
Cool.
In terms of how the
relatable.
Totally relatable.
Relatable.
all the ups and downs with tour bus life, and it sucks when you can't shit in the bus, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then Burr walks in. Burr hears the conversation about tour buses, stops and goes, oh, Christ, will you shut the fuck up? Your lives are great. There's 9,000 Teslas parked right outside. You didn't think you would be having that. Shut up and tell your little stories. And then just goes right to the
That's
main room.
That's amazing. And just, like, yes! Just Yahtzees all of them.
Yeah, yes. And then everyone just kind of looked at each other like, yeah, I guess we should shut the fuck up. Like,
yeah, wow. We could be talking about way more interesting shit.
Yeah.
That's a great, yeah. And that's and why Burr's great, to call that out.
Yeah, and then just to see the respect that all those monsters have for Burr.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, Burr has spoken. So now we must abide.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But there's countless people.
But what about people that you never thought, again, I'm talking about like the way that Levy and Lily were
people.
Because, like, I sat down after Chris Spencer. I brought up Chris Spencer.
Yeah,
I sit down, and a guy just hits me and goes, good job, man. I look over and go, thanks, Nelly. Huh? And it was Nelly.
It was Nelly.
He had the Band-Aid on?
Yeah.
No, that's
I wish he did.
That's
and I go,
how you know it was Nelly.
And I look back, and I go, Nelly? And he just goes, what up? And then we talk for
does
a little bit.
Does he have that chambered? Does Nelly have a what up with a cross? Cross peace signs. Does he have that just ready to go?
Well, I was sweating also because I was working on stage, and I get off and he goes, it's a little hot in here, don't you think? No, he didn't say that. We'll be right back. but that was crazy. Obviously, Chevy Chase was just on the pod. Meeting him there the first time was bonkers.
Yeah.
John Mayer. Brian McKnight.
I totally forgot about the John Mayer story.
Yeah.
Like, John Mayer's been there so many times now. But there's one time when he went. He was at Roast Battle, and I was a judge, and he was he was also a judge, and
I roasted that night.
That's right.
He took a picture with me. He asked me for a picture.
Roast that night. I remember that.
Yes.
You lost.
No,
I'm kidding. I just wanted to do that. To fuck with you. But
John Mayer peed on your face.
John Mayer peed on your face. He
that's
like,
a win.
Yeah, he was like, he's like, well, it's going to be a Wonderland. So, but like Mayer does the thing and then like he gets what, cause Roast Battle ends at like 1:00, 1:30. So Mayer kind of looks around like, is there anything still going? And we go, the OR is going, but it's about like Earl's up there. It's about to end. And Mayor just goes, all right, let's go there. And like he walks and he just sees the OR. I forget who was on stage, but there was like 10 people in the audience. And Mayor just goes, all right, I'm just going to go. And he walks on stage.
Wow.
And then him and Ross essentially bring most of the comics from Roast Battle. And we just sat down and they essentially just performed for us.
Wow.
And it was sickening how good John Mayer is.
I know, he's funny.
I hate that so much.
You know what it is? He's smart and his timing's really good.
Yeah.
And he respects the comics enough to let them drive the ship. Mm-hmm. But then he's also savvy enough to be like, if I think of something funny, I'm gonna say it.
Yeah.
He's confident enough to throw darts, but know that he's not the funniest
on stage.
Good,
you're that mm-hmm. good at playing guitar.
Yep.
You're that good looking.
You're a good backup guy too.
Catalog of women is insane. And mm-hmm. oh, by the way, you could do the hardest job in show business if you wanted.
Yeah.
You could dabble in it.
He also replaced Jerry Garcia, who have the most hardcore fans in the world.
Yeah.
He's just in the Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
He's just in the Grateful Dead and all the fans went, yeah. Oh yeah. He's also in the Stones. Because he's touring with the Stones now too.
And he's in the Jonas Brothers.
He's in the Mickey Mouse Club. He's doing everything.
He's the new
madness.
Progressive girl. He's Flo now. I remember
he's got the hair for it.
I went and saw him and Chappelle for New Year's do their what's it called? Controlled Danger show. And at one, you know, there's a moment where they're just bantering back and forth. John's playing guitar. It's after John's played. Dave's done stand up. Now they're jamming together, and John's playing, and Dave just goes, "John, let me smell your fingers." And then
that's a cocktail right there.
Oh, it was amazing. And then when I went to the hilarious. When I went to the Chappelle summer camp, we're back there. Dave's about to go on. John, same setup. You know, John, then Dave, then them together.
Yeah.
So we're sitting in a little thing, watching a little monitor, and John's playing a slow ballad and just serenading the fuck out of the crowd. All the girls are swooning, and Dave just sitting there, and then just turns, and looks right at me, and goes, "Pussy jokes don't fail me now." And he started just riffing on. He's like, "How the fuck am I supposed to follow this?" He's like, "This guy, truly." He's like, "Everyone's just, you know."
Yeah.
I mean, obviously he's joking,
but yeah, that's what the store brings you. It just brings that magic. And now that everyone in Hollywood, like the secrets, like to say the secret's out, it's been out since the 70s.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of Hollywood people know that, like, oh, the store is a cool place.
Yeah.
And it's a fun place to go, and you're going to have interactions, and you're going to see things, and you're going to be a part of something.
And it's cool.
It's really cool.
It is cool. And it's cool that more often than not, that we're in a position that these people have maybe seen us on stage in our element, and then you have like jurisdiction to maybe chum them up if they approach you after, hopefully, if they've stuck around. Or sometimes as soon as you get on stage, Zac Efron stands up and leaves. Now, did I walk him because of who I am and what I look like? I'm going to tell myself no. But then there's times when Paul Pierce stays in the crowd and watches you and gives you a big high five after, and it's like you see him stomping his feet during the show, and then a month later you see him on Instagram Live. And you're like, maybe will he give me a shout out on this Instagram Live while strippers are dancing in the background? That would be amazing.
I mean, that would have been great is if he got fired from NBA's The Jump, if part of that clip that they show, and shout out to Adam Ray, he's a funny fucker. Like that, you'd be like, cool, career made.
Career made.
That's it.
Now, speaking of getting starstruck, you just went and hosted the Chris Jericho Cruise.
Oh, no, you must call this by its proper name.
Please.
It is the Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea.
I think I found my new vocal warm-up.
Chris Jericho, Rushman, Rockin' Wrestling, Rager at Sea. Yes, and there's another story where, how that came about.
Please.
I'm a massive wrestling fan, and I was on stage in Tampa, Florida, and all wrestlers live in Tampa.
Do they really?
Hogan and Macho Man live there, and since then, there's been a lot of wrestlers living in Tampa.
All wrestlers live in Tampa, I think, is from the same author who wrote Don't Eat the Filthy Fish in college. Yeah,
it's like a Hogan-Rogan thing. Comics go to Austin.
Wait a second. Where's that reality show?
Please get them.
It's not a podcast because Joe's doing his
thing. So you're saying I got to take ivermectin, brother?
Well, I'm just saying, look into it. I'm just saying, don't rule it out yet. I'm just saying, well, look, there's scientists, and look, and there's facts. But I think that... That was my Rogan, I guess.
What you gonna do when these antibodies?
Hulkamaniacs.
I'm running wild on you.
By the way, those energies contrasting, though, would be amazing because Joe's so calm and still, and Hulk's just bursting through the titty factory.
Joe, get him on the pod.
Get him on the pod.
I do the improv in Tampa, and I do the meet and greet afterward, and this very attractive blonde lady comes up to me and goes, "Oh, I really like the show. I had so much fun. You know, my husband's in show business. He would love you. And whenever we hear my husband's in show business, we go, oh, he's okay.
I'd love to meet your mime husband.
Yeah, he's an open micer. He was an extra once.
And we all do that when you haven't heard of the person.
Yeah,
it's just like you have no context.
Okay, you're living in Tampa. Your husband's in show business. I'm sure
radio DJ.
I'm sure he's great. Yeah. And I do the nice thing and I go, oh, cool. What is your husband do? Oh, he's a professional wrestler. His name is Chris Jericho. And I'm like, lead with that.
Truly one of your faves.
Yeah, one of my all-time faves.
Holy
and
shit. Truly?
Yeah, truly. Truly one of my all-time faves.
Wow, dude.
And so then she goes, "Oh yeah, he's going out to LA. I'm going to tell him to look you up and maybe you can do his podcast." And and literally like the next day, Jericho follows me on Twitter, DMs me and goes like, "Hey, I'm coming out to LA. My wife says you're really funny. Come do the podcast." Just like that. And I do it, and we had a great time, and that was right when he was doing the first Chris Jericho Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea, and he goes, "Come on and do the cruise. I want you to do it. Do stand up on it," and I did it. It was some of the most fun I've ever had in my entire life.
Was that a Porky Pig moment when he asked you? You were just beep 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 beep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes.
Was that Porky Pig?
That was one after the stutters. Bleep, 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 bleep. Yeah.
Yes, I love you.
Yeah. That was Porky Pig as a drag queen. Yes. My goodness.
Just liquid death.
Yeah.
Heavens to Murgatroyd.
Fucking Hanna-Barbera just broke out of this podcast. Where's Grape Ape when you need him?
That's a great stripper name, by the way.
Grape Ape.
No, Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, Grape Ape is a rough one.
I'm not gonna lie. If Grape Ape,
I'm probably looking at my buddy, being like, "I think we can go."
If Grape Ape was stripping at the Red Parrot in El Paso, Texas, which is a real place, I'd go there.
Oh my god,
I would go see Grape Ape.
The Red Parrot.
That's a real strip club.
Some of these real podunk cities just.
And now to bring it back, you know how guys are always like, "Hey, this is disgusting. Try this." The Red Parrot is the worst strip club you can ever go to, and that's why you should go to it. And your mic just fell off.
I'm good.
Your mic stand just went limp at the mention of the Grey Babe and the Red Parrot. They're like, I can't stand this anymore.
I'm out of
here. Yeah.
Okay. So you get invited for the cruise. This is one of your all time fave wrestlers.
Yeah. And then that
you're
was,
like, I'm gonna move heaven and earth to do it. Yeah.
And that was the first one. And then and then the second one I couldn't do because my wife had the nerve to get pregnant.
That bitch.
I know, right?
In this climate?
In this economy?
Yeah.
The due date was a week before the cruise. So it's like, probably not the best time.
Yeah. Well, that's also a sweet move on your part, and we should, not skip over your lovely, beautiful, talented wife.
I'd
produced
be a horrible husband
the
if
greatest,
I went,
cutest
hey,
kid of all time.
Hey, cool. You just popped out a baby. You just created life. I'm going to go party with Ric Flair.
Yeah. Let me see if I get a Ric Flair baby tee for
Sabu.
You.
Sabu.
Yeah. Oh, God. But we just did the third one, and it was awesome. Because since then, the wrestling company AEW has formed. It was all these AEW wrestlers who I'm really close with and got to be closer to. Got to do it with Ryan Niemiller, who's a big wrestling fan from America's Got Talent. He saved in my phone as Lobster Boy.
Because, now explain why.
Because he has no hands.
He has hands.
He has hand.
Nubs.
Nubs.
Stubs? Wait,
sells a shirt that says Club Nub, so I think we can call it Nub. So, he's an old friend in comedy, so it's not like, oh, Brad's calling out Ryan Niemiller.
Even if you were, I wouldn't care. Don't worry about me.
But
he's got one, right?
Yeah.
Or both.
He's got both. There's like two
he
fingers.
He has a club
on.
And a nub. That's what
yes.
it is.
Yeah, it's got a club
Hence
and a nub.
Club nub. Yeah.
It was
very funny, by the way.
Yeah, he's great.
Known him from the get go. Like I think yeah. I met him through you.
Yeah.
At the Ontario Improv.
Yeah, he moved out to that area from Indianapolis.
Yeah,
and then
so funny.
Recently, he got on America's Got Talent,
yeah.
and that boosted him up to headliner, and he's fucking killing
so
it.
So great.
So happy for him.
And so it's cool to have a buddy out there.
Yeah, had him, had Kate Quigley, mm-hmm. and we just got to be on the boat.
Also
and,
very cool, too, to get Kate, you know, just
yeah.
coming back to normalcy.
That was
so.
Her first gigs.
Wow.
Her first gigs after all that went down. And
breath of fresh air just to come back with a...
And she was so... And she was really happy and really positive and really
good.
Thankful. And then wrestling fans are like, all right, the comedy shows at this cruise. Hey, you're doing comedy on a cruise, which you've done.
Yeah.
This one...
The New Kids fans, pretty much the same as Jericho fans.
yeah. Let's go with that. In the big theater on this boat, they put a wrestling ring. We're doing comedy in the wrestling ring.
Cool.
To the audience. And it's wrestling fans. Now, I don't know how much wrestling you've been watching. Wrestling fans love to chant.
Yes.
That's one of their things. Something happens. They do a chant. They make up a chant. Mm. And it just kind of spreads throughout the arena. So it's really fun to do a joke and then have a theater of 1,100 people go, this is awesome. This is awesome. And just doing that, it was so cool. I did a couple of roast jokes. I wrote some roast jokes for the wrestlers. And then... I did one, and the whole place started chanting,
Holy shit.
and they were just going nuts. It was such a cool experience.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
You're the only person who experienced that chant without having to take, like, a chair to the head.
yeah.
That's
or, like,
amazing.
Jump through a flaming table or
yeah,
something
yeah,
like
you just
that.
Just got to tit-talk.
Yeah. And then I did one joke that didn't work. And the whole crowd chanted, you fucked up. You fucked up.
Amazing.
Was,
well played.
It was so good.
Well played.
And I couldn't help but laugh. I'm like, all right, noted. I deserve that one.
Were some of the other greats there? Like, does Jericho pull a cool cast of wrestlers to join?
Kurt Angle was there,
mm-hmm.
And who was actually an Olympic gold medalist. He won a gold medal in amateur wrestling with a broken frickin' neck.
Wow!
And yeah, and then he's one of the all time greats in wrestling. So he was there. I was so mad that the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase canceled.
Oh.
He wasn't there, but man, I wanted to meet
that
guy.
Would have been sick.
But yeah, there was it was really great. A lot of fun. There's heavy metal bands. There's comedy, and then there's wrestling. It's
kind of a dream
everything
weekend.
That I want to
yeah.
do.
Oh,
that's
totally.
My things in life that I'm a big fan of.
Did you stay up all night? How are you on
oh,
a cruise?
Yeah. Like,
it's
oh,
tough
I,
to. I know for me on the New Kid cruises and even just bachelor party cruises I've been
yeah.
on, which are the only cruises I've been on. I mean, I went to bed when the sun was coming up every time.
Yeah. Well, like, because at the end of all the shows, which ended about 1 o'clock in the morning with all the metal and the wrestling shows,
oh, yeah.
then they do wrestler karaoke. And all the wrestlers go,
mm-hmm.
we're all hammered at this point,
yes.
and we all sing karaoke.
Amazing.
And that would go until like 2:30, and then Jericho had this suite that was just insane.
Oh, man.
Just insane.
So after party.
Yeah, and he'd be like, all right, up to the suite. And then all the wrestlers, and me and Kate and other comics and stuff, like we'd go up to the suite.
Amazing.
And then just food, and there was like... There was like hot tubs on a roof. It was just it was madness. And we're just getting drunk and just listening to them tell wrestling stories. And man, wrestling stories, you know, like we tell horror stories coming up as comics.
Yeah.
Like in terms of, oh, I had to drive like 4 hours for no money. The
yeah.
guy didn't pay me.
Yeah.
It was a
I got
strip bumped club,
from the show
a
from the guy's
yeah.
brother who owned the club.
Right. Those are our horror stories. Wrestling horror stories, I'm glad I'm a comedian. Because their shit is like, yeah, I went out there, drove 9 hours, made no money, got hit with a bag of thumbtacks. And
by a guy named Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that was his gimmick. And then the one guy that was in the audience said, you fucked up in life. And then I'm like, ah. And it, like,
oh
their stories were just madness.
Physically demanding.
Yeah, and just how casually they say things. like,
yeah, I try to throw a chair off this guy's back and losing my thumb in his asshole. But, you know, it's part of the grind.
Yeah, this guy tried to slam me through a table. He went a little too far. One of the table legs impaled me. But, you know, we finished the match. That was an actual
it's
story
always
I heard.
We finished the match, huh?
Always we finished the match. That's insane.
Not to name drop here, but The Rock has shared some crazy coming up stories with me. And just to piggyback on your appreciation for the grind and how different it is from our grind.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, it's like, and my only true, I guess, The Wrestler, the movie, is maybe the first time I got any sort of curtain peel back to that world. And you just don't think about it. And then now I've been in certain cities where there's been like, you know, smaller tournaments or practice facilities where guys can do it. And I've popped in on them because somebody at the club was like, you want to go see this? And I'm watching these guys who are trying to be the next guys. And I'm like, man, dude, this is their open mic.
Yeah. And I've had one wrestling lesson and one wrestling match. I've had an actual match where I got paid. And I'll tell you the story behind that.
Yeah.
Is I had the wrestling mat. I had the wrestling lesson. Realized that falling onto the mat, it's not a trampoline. The fucker hurts, and the ropes are not like rubber bands. They're elevator cables wrapped in rubber. They hurt.
Yeah.
When you run them, you get bruised all up down there. So I do the one lesson. I go, that's not for me. And so then, like a week later, I get a phone call from the teacher. That day, it was like, hey. Do you want to get paid for a wrestling match? I was like, I've had one lesson. And he goes, yeah, but do you want to be in a match? He's like, they need you for a match. I'm like, what do you mean they need me? They're like, there's a match at this fair, and one of their dwarves couldn't make it, and I told them I have one. And I'm like, all right, so we're currency now?
So funny. Oh, my God. Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, in the future, in the apocalypse, money is gone. The only currency is how many little people do you own?
No. Own.
Yeah, own. Yeah, that's it. So I go like, sure, yeah, I'll do it. Why not? That's a story. So I go to the fair. When I told my dad that I would go to in the show business, he'd be like, you're gonna end up in a county fair, and I'm like, no, I'm not. And then fuck,
dad.
Yeah, dad. Well, I go and I go backstage. And they go like, okay, you're facing this guy. His name is the Psycho Clown. I'm like, all right, good name. And
terrifying, by the way.
They're like,
what's your name? You're like, Brad.
I'm Brad. They're like, yeah. Oh, that's the thing. They said,
Brad the what?
Yeah, they said, what's your name? I go, well, I'm Brad. And they go, well, no, what's your wrestling name? And I'm like, oh. And I just started thinking of like all these like wrestling video games I played. And I go, oh, yeah. That one. I go, I'm Half Pint.
I was just about to ask, did you still kind of make it funny?
Come on!
I would have been like, you've heard of Ruby Tuesday. You're looking at Puby Tuesday. Where do I sign up?
From parts unknown, Puby Tuesday.
Half Pint is a great name, by the way.
So we know where he's from. It's Florida.
Yeah. So I went in as Half Pint. But the thing is I'm supposed to talk with the Psycho Clown and plan out the match. Now, it's a sentence.
You said it so seriously.
Listen.
So matter of factly.
You having to ask the bearded lady, excuse me, do you know where Mr. Psycho Clown is?
I want Tom Brokaw to do my life story.
Had a Psycho Clown.
I don't know. That was a horrible Tom Brokaw.
No, it was close.
That's probably very accurate now.
Nowadays. Yeah, might be accurate.
That was Cookie Monster does Tom Brokaw on his SNL audition.
Wait, Cookie.
Okay, there you go.
Big Bird just came out. Big Bird say he got vaccine.
Yeah.
Me still doing me own research. Me listening to Rogan.
Did they do that in the sketch? Did they have other Sesame Street characters say they were?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Missed opportunity. Yeah. But, you know, hey.
Pete as Joe was funny, though.
Some people got mad at SNL for doing a bad sketch, and I'm like, yeah. Have you watched SNL?
They're throwing a lot of darts.
They're Yeah, every episode.
Yes.
Lauren himself has said there's never been a perfect episode.
No.
In every episode, there's going to be a couple of misses.
Dude, I was just watching it. Yes, I was just watching an old sketch with George Clooney and Farley where Farley goes to SeaWorld and he sits in the splash zone and just gets the whole sketch is set up for him. He goes, I'm going to sit next to the hot girl. And Clooney's like, cool, I'll take the seat two seats down. And then he ends up getting to sit next to her too.
Yeah.
And then Clooney, during the whole sketch, is like, hey, $100 under my seat.
Oh.
Like the seat in one. And then Farley's like, so why you come here? And then the splash zone and he gets back. Dear God. God, that's a lot of water. And he goes, well, good thing water is slimming, like wearing a black shirt. And she goes, really? And he goes, I don't know. Dude, it's classic. But I'm watching, and then I looked up, because I'm a nerd, like, where in the show that fell?
Yeah.
Hey, man, towards the end.
Towards the end.
And you're like, wow, that was one of those, like,
yeah,
throwaway, like, well, there's a term
maybe
for
you
it.
Saw it.
Where it's called,
I've heard it.
After the, whatever, it's like the, after the certain time slot, where it's almost like a sketch that they're just like,
yeah,
no one's really watching anymore because it's this late, so we'll put this sketch on.
Got it.
Some of the great ones really premiered at that slot.
Yeah, well, and that's like one of those sketches to look at how brilliant Chris Farley is.
Yes.
Because you know that when writing that sketch, you're like, well, what's funny about this sketch? And they're like, well, we just keep hitting Chris with water.
With water, yeah. And at one point, they go, he goes, it's just water. And then and they go, the announcer goes, please, another announcement, do not inhale any of the water as it's filled with bacteria. And then he just goes, oh, boy. And then he goes, good thing I take tripadipamine for my acne. And she goes, does that stop bacteria? He goes, I think so.
That's it. The only note is we hit Chris
hit him with water,
and
let
then let him be funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, don't get mad. But where
Sesame
were we?
Street, Cookie Monster.
You were talking to Mr. Psycho Clown.
Psycho Clown. There you go. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Signpost.
Thank you.
Signpost, Brent.
What do we do without somebody sitting here with us? Sometimes
God.
We still made it back.
Somehow.
When it was just us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Brian.
So. Well, so I find the Psycho Clown, and I all right, we got to plan our match. Turns out, Psycho Clown doesn't speak English.
Awesome.
Only speaks Spanish.
What?
So we have to find a translator.
He's like a luchador.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he comes over, and the clown goes like, all right, well, what's your experience level? And I go, I've had one lesson. And you saw him go, oh, boy. Like, or, sorry, yeah. Ay, caramba. Yeah.
Oh, Nino.
Hey. And he's like, well, what can you do? And I go, I can fall. Like, I can fall backwards.
Yeah, that's my thing.
That's about all I could do. And he's like, okay. So we start playing this match, and he's like, all right, and then I'm going to throw you against the ropes, and you're going to give me a Hurricane Rana. And I'm like, what?
Slow down.
A Hurricane Rana? Like, I know what that move is. And I'm like, that's where you jump and you wrap your legs around the guy's head, and then you use your legs to throw the guy. It's an insane move. It's insane. And he goes, no. It, like, and we go through the translator, but the translator tells me, no, you're going to go. He's just going to pick you up. Just throw your legs up in the air. He'll do the rest. And I'm like, what?
Hey, by the way, how about start slow with these moves?
Yeah.
Like, hey, you steal,
clothesline.
You steal my
punch.
You steal my Wi-Fi password.
Yeah.
I prank call your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then
let's tell a story here. Let's slow burn. But no, he's going right for the Hurricane Rana, and then we do it in the match, and that's he made me look fucking amazing
because
all I did was throw my legs up. He put my legs literally like on top of his head, and then he threw me to the side, and then he flipped forward, and it looked like I did this incredible move to him. At some point, I dove from the inside of the ring to the outside of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
The move is now in wrestling called a tope suicida, or a suicide dive.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason they call it that.
Dangerous.
Because I was hopped up too much on adrenaline, and I flew too far. And and Psycho Clown was like, oh, shit. And he moved back to catch me. He caught me. My momentum took him about two steps further back.
No.
And then he dropped me, and then my head on the steel guardrail, just boom, and like
you're still feeling that.
Oh, I popped up, and this was within 10 seconds after getting hit. I felt my head. I'm like, oh, that feels like a softball is in my forehead.
Shut
like
the
it's
fuck
just
up.
A blunt, like it's like. It's like Quato from Total Recall. Just another human out of my head. My 5 head became a 9 head. It was insane. And but you got to finish the match.
Finish it.
So we went in the ring. We did a few more things, and then I ended it with a sunset flip which it's where he throws me against the ropes. He puts his head down to throw me up, but then I flip over him, I grab him, and I hold him down for a pin. It was a fun match, got a lot of cheers, and I could say I've done one wrestling match.
Yeah, dude, that's
so
huge.
So I'm there bragging to the guys that have been through flaming tables, like, well, have you faced the Psycho Clown? I've done that one.
Yeah, I bet they've heard stories about him, though. That guy sounds like he's got a name that travels.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
That's
cool, man.
Yeah.
That's also got to be a bucket list thing. It's like for us playing in the NBA Celebrity All-Star Game, bucket list.
Totally.
Crossed off. I mean,
there's stuff you just do. Like when people say, like, how do you do all these things? And it's kind of like the Jim Carrey movie where you're like, oh, I just say yes. I just say yes to shit.
Dude, comedy, I was just, again, sharing this story. But, went to the Chiefs-Raiders game on Sunday because comedy introduced me to Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
And developed a chummy rapport there and enough to where it was like, come to the game.
Yeah.
And it's like comedy, man.
Yeah.
You know, like we're it's it makes the grind part of it where you go, man, I'm so glad I fucking stuck with it.
Yeah.
And like, because, and look, it's never a finished product. That's what's great about it. I mean, I see you out there on the road and I've seen your new hour and can't wait for you to lock it in and lay it down because it's going to be great. And I saw you post something today that said big news in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like something happened,
but
you can't share.
Mm-mm.
No. Can you tell me after?
Yeah, great.
I'll tell you afterwards. Cool, and then I'll tweet it out. But I think that there's there's something to be said.
What the fuck is that?
Well, I'll tell you, kiddos. It's the busiest time of the year. So you're going to need a break from the holiday action, your family, your friends, the tube, YouTube, Pornhub. Best Fiends is the perfect pick-me-up. It's seriously my new favorite game. Best Fiends is a match-3 style puzzle. I know how you love your puzzles and adventure game all rolled into one. And with more levels being added all the time, there's always something new to play. I like to play something that's addictive, easy on the brain, and fun before I go to bed. Best Fiends has all of that. There's an amazing storyline, collectible fiends, and tons of fun puzzles. I honestly can't put it down. It's quite possibly the best puzzle game I've ever played.
But I live in a bus stop.
No Wi-Fi? No problem. Play Best Fiends wherever and whenever you want with offline mode. So even if your holiday travels take you off the beaten path, you can still play Best Fiends. Not to brag, but I'm already at level 60. Still, Best Fiends has literally thousands of levels with more added all the time, so there's always a fresh challenge waiting for me when I need that mental pick-me-up. So if you want to download the best game on the planet and get that puzzle rocking your brain before you go to sleep, waking up fresh and charged for the day, download Best Fiends, FIENDS, free today on the App Store or Google Play. That's Friends without the R. Best Fiends.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It is, kid. Now get off my property.
I also love about you, Brad, that you work your shit. You know what I'm saying? When you're in town and you live a little bit further out, you still make your nights to come in, to be family man, to be dad, and to be on the road pretty much every weekend and to still come through on weeknights is, I know for some people can go, yeah, you have to. Yeah, I mean, you should.
Yeah.
You don't have to because if you're doing 5-6 shows a weekend, you have plenty of time to work out stuff as well. But you very much take pride in the fact that people are paying, they're coming. I want to have as much of a show as I can. I'm going to do the work during the week to do the workouts and get my stuff tight so that I can. And you're still, of course, polishing and fine-tuning on the road.
Sure. It's like this is something that I remember Rogan saying when people were like, man, you're doing all this shit. Do you ever see your kids? He goes, yeah, I record podcasts while they're at school, and then I put them down to sleep at night, which is at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, and then I go to the store.
Yeah.
They're already asleep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my daughter goes down at like 5:36. Okay. So we put her down.
Can do it.
Wife and I have a nice dinner. I spit some game, try to get late.
Yeah.
And then
ooh, pre-show. Good for you.
And then go out and do a show.
Yeah.
It's
doable.
It's very doable. So,
what are you fired up about right now, material wise? Since you can't tell us what the big news is, but what are you? Because I've seen it, I dig it. Mm-hmm. You keep finding ways to have, like, you know, you're getting better at storytelling, and you're expanding more on things that have happened, and you're also like diving into, you're finding ways to keep peeling back like the onion on stuff and asking more questions, which I think should be something we all strive to do, because that's how you're going to wring the most comedy out of a certain situation that is specific to your life. You know, obviously you're good at like having this full story, but then a lot of jokes per minute. But there's some stuff that I've seen, and just in particular with being a new dad, that I'm like, man, what a...
Well, that's the fun stuff, man. That's the fun stuff, and the stuff that...
And balanced out with a good amount of heart, too.
Yeah, well, and like, you know, so many comics have talked about being parents, because it's a life experience that we've all gone through, so your thing is like, okay, well, how do I make this mine?
I was going to ask, are there trepidations going in, being like, oh, am I going to be another comic that has dad jokes?
Yeah.
But then you go.
But then at the same time, I step back and go like, well, I've got an experience that I've never heard talked about on stage.
Oh, haven't heard any other Asian dwarf baby jokes, Brad. Gonna not need a Google for that one.
Yeah. So I know that I've got that experience and, you know, having a wife who is not like me in terms of A, race, B, physical stature. Great. Okay. There's another top to go into. Having my daughter having dwarfism. Okay. Now I can talk about that. I talked about myself having it. Now I've got the person I care for more than anything in the world having it, and then having to guide her through it. Okay. I have that experience. So I have plenty of experiences to draw from that are new that I haven't heard anyone talk about.
Yep.
And so I'm really excited to talk about that in terms of all the things that are happening now in her life and all the comedy that's coming. And it happens real fast. From the moment she was born, comedy happened. Like, just as soon as she was born, it's like, okay, here we go.
Whoa.
I mean, and just recently, my daughter had to have a surgery, and now because we're psychotic comedians, I talk about I'm literally going from here to the store. I have new jokes I've written about. I haven't gone up since her surgery, and I've got jokes I've written about that because I have to, because that was an insanely stressful.
I don't know
experience.
If you were talking about that.
Oh yeah, I will.
Was it ass implants?
Yes. Yeah. I didn't. She got her mom's ass, not mine. So we have to.
Yo,
she's got to compete in Los Angeles, baby.
By the way, do not know if that's a bit. You're welcome. Great setup, because you talk about having a nice booty.
I do,
and you do. Mm-hmm. I've seen it. Mm-hmm. But now that's a really funny bit.
There you go. Yeah, and stuff like that. And that's the other reason why you always come out to the store is you come out to the store and you come out to LA, and you, even though I'm on the road a ton, I still come out because of the hang, and you talk, and you have the best comedians in the world as a resource.
Yeah.
And how many times have you gone off stage and a crazy talented comedian has said, hey, have you ever tried saying this?
Have you ever thought about this?
Yeah, just, oh, shit, mm-hmm. thank you. And how many times have you done that for somebody else? And it's so great that we have that resource. That's why you go and you hang and you see everybody. I'm really anxious to talk about that.
I was going to ask you too, like, cause I know that, you know, when we did the pod together, that was a great benefit of us coming in with like nuggets of things and not telling each other that like, hey, I'm going to work this out, but bringing it up based on, cause we would just, you know, talk about what was going on. And we could probably innately feel that like, oh, that's the beginning of something, but we'd be treating it in such as just trying to riff with my buddy, and then afterwards, like, see each other doing a version of that or something like that on stage, mm-hmm. or after the pod, be like, "Well, that was blah blah blah." We're really good about being like, "Hey, you gotta
write that down."
I hope here's something else we could say to that,
yeah.
And really going back and listening to the pod sometimes and being like, "Wow, just listen to that chunk,
of
what we riffed on," and because
take lines, yes. find something that connects it, and then go. It's a lot. Yeah, I miss that.
Yeah.
I miss those riffs and coming up with stuff. Thankfully, I'm gotten to the point now where I can take pretty much just like a core group of opening acts.
Yep.
And one my main opening act, his name is JB Ball.
Hilarious.
And great Look guy.
Oh, he's a good friend. I love JB.
Good. Yeah. So fucking funny.
Crusher, so different from you.
Yeah.
Also a Tampa guy. He's a wrestler.
He is a Tampa guy. Yeah. Could be. Yeah. But yeah, so him and I have gone on riffs just because now we're traveling together.
Yeah.
And so there's
huge benefit.
Definitely riffs.
So how will you, is that where you're getting, because you don't sit down and truly just write.
No, I wish.
Is it writing on stage? What's the percentage of writing on stage, writing from hanging out and riffing? Or yeah. You thinking,
it's like
seeing something and jotting it. Like I'll jot down notes into an email,
yeah,
and then take it to the stage.
Yeah.
And sometimes something will just truly flow out in like almost a paragraph. Yeah. And then I'll take again, where as far as like the beginning, middle and end of it. But then it's like, all right, we'll do the joke service and peel back even more.
Yeah.
But usually it's nuggets and then I take it to the stage.
Yep.
Or think about it during the day. You know what I'm saying? And yeah. From driving on whatever, and then try to embellish more on it and not just go up with a simple, three-word phrase to riff on. Because I feel like you need...
Yeah, I'll come up with like three lines, three signposts where I go, okay, these I believe are jokes. Hopefully they are jokes. And then I'll try to connect them somehow on stage. But yeah, I'd say like 70-30 in terms of... I write mostly on stage, which... I hate that I even say that sentence. I wish I didn't.
Yeah.
I wish I could sit down and be like, all right, got my notebook, gonna, lock the door, write a joke. I can't do that.
Yeah.
It's not how I work. And so I have to go on stage with an idea and just kind of talk it out. Like I said, have like two or three signposts. And yeah, then the 30 is riffs with JB or I've been using Tom Tran, Carmen Morales, and Jenny Johnson. That's like my stable of openers.
Great joke writers.
And they're awesome. They're all great joke writers. So, and it's really cool because now I'm coming to a point where like JB's been being seen by clubs and getting headliner dates.
Oh, good.
Like I'll be there Friday, Saturday. JB will headline on Thursday. He's getting seen by people,
cool. And
it's really cool to see now his career start to move. And he's not gonna be opening for me.
Yeah, you're gonna
longer.
Need a cool black guy to replace JB real quick.
Quincy Weekly,
boom,
in the bullpen, ready to go.
Also, so funny.
Quincy is ready.
Great.
Quincy works at the store.
He's so funny.
He's so great.
So goddamn likable too, man.
He just like, and that's the other thing is. Thankfully, all the people I mentioned got to throw out Raj Sharma,
mm-hmm.
Who also opens for me, and Pat House. So yeah, all those guys and girls that when they're really funny and also great hangs.
Yeah, big part of it, man.
Any comic coming up, don't be an asshole. Be a great hang.
Yeah,
you know it seems obvious, but it's a major part of it.
Hey.
If we're going out to lunch every day, if we're going to the zoo or on wherever town we're in, seeing movies, after show Waffle Houses, you got to be a good hang. We got to be able to talk.
Yeah, if we walk into a bar that's packed and they say, hey, sir, you can't bring your son in here, and you go, no, that's the headliner, I need you to stick up for me and get us into that bar. I remember so many bars we went into. I mean, even just our Cabo trip where it's like,
ha!
I mean, and that was truly probably what bonded us right away was the hang
because
we met at SC, after I graduated.
Oh, yeah.
And you would have graduated, but you left to start your career because that was the move.
It's so selfish. Yeah. So selfish of me to just not graduate.
But honestly, the first time we were just outside of our homes and hung, it was just like, okay, cool. We're going to be friends because this is all so easy. We're goofing the whole time.
It was great.
We respect each other. But then there was a kind and a, I know from my perspective, and I'm sure you expect or hope you get this in your openers and probably do from the people you mentioned, and I know them all to be sweet people,
mm-hmm.
but you got to be not overly like, oh my God, thank you so much, but appreciative and like understand the spot you're in because, hey man, I'm not just bringing you because I need, like you were the only one. I've definitely... had
that stuff that's stuff that I learned as an opener.
Me too.
That it's like, oh, because when you're an opener, you can start to you can start to get way too comfortable, and you start to look at the audience and be like, oh, that's my audience too.
Yeah,
no, it's not.
No, it's not, motherfucker.
You didn't sell any of those tickets.
Do I remember Bobby Lee when I was opening for him? I was usually doing 30, and then we started the show real late, so he was like, hey, just do 15 on this one. And I'll never forget this. I went, oh, come on. I go, oh, man. And he goes, hey, hey. And I was like, and he goes, shut the fuck up. He goes, he goes, you could do five if I wanted you to. He goes, I could also kick you off the shows right now.
Yeah.
And he said it like with a very sincere but direct Bobby way.
Yeah.
And dude, it was like a fucking bulb went off.
Yeah.
Everywhere. Because I was just like, whoa. Like too comfy. I'd been on the road with him for like over a year at this point.
Yeah.
And it was just like, man, do not like, hey, this is not about you at all. Mm-mm. You are, you like, and he, you know, you, you can bring somebody else. It's like, there's a reason that you're there. And so don't,
yeah,
don't take advantage.
Yeah. It's something. And thankfully,
respect the spot.
All the people that I mentioned are like that, but all the people that I mentioned are going to be like,
yep.
they're going to be headliners. All those people I mentioned are, Carmen just, recorded something for HBO. I think, was it HBO Latino?
No, it was it was regular HBO.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's just the production company was like a Latino production company.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Entre Nos.
I think I saw that in probably.
I did the same thing. I texted her today. I go, was your set in Spanish? And it turns out that was an insult.
That's so fucking
Anything
great.
Anything could be an insult. That's awesome.
That's so great for her. I'm so happy. Oh, it's awesome. So yeah, Carmen's blowing up. JB's been writing for Kevin Hart, and he's been writing on a new Snoop Dogg show.
Whoa.
Are
you going to get to meet Snoop Dogg?
Oh, God.
You got to make that happen.
Snoop Dogg.
And if he offers, what's that?
I'm shocked you haven't already.
If you get a chance to smoke weed with him, you got to.
I mean, you have to, but JB has told me, he's like, oh, yeah, the Snoop Dogg contact high is very real. He's like, because JB doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't do anything, but he's like, yeah, I get high. Because I'm around Snoop.
By the way, contact high is a great name for a weed strain.
Ooh.
You know, that's so good that you just get high.
Yeah.
My mom was here a couple weeks ago, and she sent me a text. She goes, at the LAX airport, in the rental car Hertz van, there's a big waft of weed blowing right through. I think someone's smoking on the van. She goes, classic California. Thanks for a great trip.
I love that. I love pudding.
Speaking of pudding.
Speaking of pudding.
There's one thing we used to do on the About Last Night podcast that fans grew to love, which was anytime we had a fun pairing of words, we would say, great band name.
Mm-hmm.
And it became a drinking game. It became something where people, still come up to me and say it.
Contact High. I hear they're opening at Coachella.
Boom. There it is.
There you go.
And it, sometimes they would be just things that sounded like bands and throwaways, and other times there would be fun pairings of words that would make us laugh. So I've written down about 10 words, and I guess I didn't really think this game through. I was like, I want to give you the words.
I wrote words. Brad.
Make it funny.
Do it.
Who is that? What family member does that sound like? Oh, I don't know. Most of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you words, and then I said, I wrote,
see if I can
you want
Chris
me to
Farley
make the,
this.
You want me to make the, I see, I wrote, you make the band name and what kind of music they play.
Okay.
So I guess, okay, so there's a bunch of different, but I also want you just to pick certain words and make the band. How about that?
Okay.
I'm going to list these names.
Okay.
Okay, of these words, and then you, out of these words, pair up a couple of them to make a band.
Okay, fire away.
So there's titty.
Always a good one.
Fart.
Classic.
Baby. Beef. Tease. Jew. Dwarf. Uncle. Cookie. Taint.
Oh, Uncle.
Lips.
Uncle Beef Fart. It's absolutely a band. Mm-hmm. Uncle Beef Fart.
What do they play?
Come on. They're a bluegrass.
It's a Captain Beefheart cover band.
Yeah. Uncle Uncle Beefheart is absolutely doing bluegrass music.
All right, now let me just pair a couple for you.
Okay.
Who is opening for Cookie Taint?
Now, they're not, Cookie Taint is not even close to Uncle Beefheart.
No.
Okay? Uncle Beefheart is strictly bluegrass.
Yeah.
Cookie Taint is a new K-pop band.
I'm okay with that.
They're actually opening for BTS.
Okay. How about
how did I know that?
Which stands for Brownie Taint.
Yeah.
S.
Brownie Taint. Soft serve. I don't know.
All right. How about Jew Lips?
Oh, and this is the clip that gets posted. And this
no,
is
no.
what cancels
the Jew
me.
Said it.
Okay.
Out of his lips. Well, out of his mouth, but around his lips.
The Jew said Jew Lips. Let everyone, the record show.
Let the record show.
The dwarf did not say, you know what would be a good band name?
You can't cancel.
Jew lips.
You can't cancel the Jew for saying Jew. Who said that? Adam Ray. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Just put mint in front of it, and then you're fine.
Mint Jew lips. Well fucking done.
Ryan Volke.
Well fucking
give it up.
Done.
That's at Ryan Volke on Twitter and Instagram.
Oh my God. I feel like we got to go watch the Kentucky Derby right now.
All right, last one. Awesome. How about Uncle Dwarf?
Uncle Dwarf.
Or Dwarf Uncle.
Yeah. Well,
which
see,
one would you pay to go see?
Oh, I'd go see Uncle Dwarf. He like.
But it's all John Candy lookalikes.
That's a guy that like saw Uncle Cracker and was like, I could do that, but not so big.
Yes.
Not great. Such a big scale.
Great answer.
He just plays the honky-tonks on Broadway in Nashville. Yeah. Uncle Dwarf. You guys going to see Uncle Dwarf? Yeah, he's a slide guitar player. Yeah, he only does half the guitar. He can't. Like, he really has to run. To go. He has to grab that slide and run a long way to get some of those notes. It's pretty funny. Runs all the way down there, runs back. It takes a long time for him to hit two notes.
All right, last one.
Okay.
Either toe titty or titty baby.
Toe titty or titty baby. You know, it's funny. Here's how time will change it.
Mm.
If 5 years ago, if I heard titty baby,
you'd be at the Red Parrot.
I would, yeah. I'd be like, yeah, that's at the Red Parrot.
Grape Ape's coming up next
in El Paso, Texas, followed by Grape Ape. Now I hear titty baby, and my mind's like, yeah, it's a baby getting some food because that's what immediately pops into my head. So
nutrition,
life force. So I would say titty baby,
yeah.
And they are a cover band of the Wiggles. And
awesome.
But they do death metal covers of children's songs. So not even the Wiggles, just death metal covers of children's songs. So they're going like, the bear went over the mountain to see what he could see. The other side of the mountain was all that he could see. That's what titty baby's doing.
I want to have a kid now solely so I can hire you to stand over his or her crib. And do that.
She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. Yeah, she will. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes. That's not all that's coming. She'll be coming around the mountain. She'll be coming around the mountain. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes.
Oh, my God. Sweetheart, are you the one that hired Cookie Taint? Yeah, there's supposed to be a full band. Sorry, sweetheart.
Sorry, we hired Cookie Taint, but instead Titty Baby showed up, and now we're doing this. I love it. And the sad part is I know all these kids' songs now because it was just Sesame.
You have that station.
Oh, Sesame Street, Pandora, and the Lullaby Station.
Amazing.
Which is, parents, you got to do it. You do two cellos radio on Spotify or Pandora or whatever. They do covers, but it's like classical music. But they're doing covers like that you know of like modern songs. So
I've heard like Metallica ones.
Yeah. So you hear like Enter Sandman, but it's done like a lullaby form, or Journey, but you're done in a lullaby form. It's so like your kid loves it, and then you're like rocking out to it, like don't forget myself to include everyone. Yeah, so it's awesome.
Let's close things out.
Yeah,
Brad, thanks for coming back.
Of course.
Good to see you live in the flesh. We did this a few times over the pandemic and on Zoom, and just night and day being in the same place. I mean, from Zoom shows to live shows, Zoom pods to live pods.
Oh, man.
I mean, cheers, man.
We're cheersing our liquid death.
Mm-hmm.
Liquid death. If you want to murder your thirst. There you go.
There's by the way, I need to start getting actual sponsored beverages because or hit them up and truly be like, hey, because, I mean, everyone's doing a little bit.
That's why they sponsor the studios. They do that all the time. Like, they sponsor the studio, and they know it's just naturally going to organically show up.
Fuck, dude.
So podcast. It's like free ads, but not really. So, okay. Yeah, like, I rather than pay all the podcasters,
it's like a Costco
pay the studio.
Yeah, bulk type sponsor.
Got it. Like, good job, Liquid
we should
Death.
Come up with a drink called, like, Cookie Taint, because that's not.
I would drink Cookie Taint.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's different cookie flavors.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, like.
Where's
the taint come in? I've been asking that question since I was 10.
Aftertaste.
Aftertaste.
It's got a strong taint aftertaste.
Taint aftertaste.
It's finished in taint barrels.
Taint aftertaste sounds like an 80s like pop star.
Oh yeah.
Or like the guy like
shipping for Tiffany. Taint aftertaste.
All right, bro. We're closing this out with a quick 10 question inside the actor studio questionnaire.
Fire away.
I'm gonna be James Lipton. Here we go. Get to know Brad Williams a little bit better. Brad, what is your favorite word?
Oh. No, that's it. No,
that's fine. Acceptable answer.
You know, I mean, it's my favorite word. It's my favorite swear word. Fuck. It's such a good one. It's just so versatile.
Well, that's gonna be a later question. Is what is your favorite curse word? So how about what is your favorite regular word?
My favorite regular word. Ha ha.
Great answer. And I love even better the way you said it. Like a nun who was mocking a mime.
Funny.
What is your least favorite word?
Least favorite word? The
answers don't all have to all be funny.
No. This is like inside my house. So you know how your mom only says your full name when you're in trouble?
Oh, this sounds like a bit. Go ahead.
It's not.
I'm joking. Your mom says your full name where? In the house?
Like
she's angry.
When you're in trouble, yeah.
Yes.
My wife will only, when she calls me husband, that means that she's about to ask me to do something, and it's usually right when I got comfortable. So if I hear the word husband, then I'm like, motherfucker.
I love that.
But if she says Brad, I know it's going to be something fun. It's weird, but she only...
Wow.
I don't know if she does it on purpose or subconsciously, but whenever I hear husband, I'm like, fuck. So my least favorite word is one of my favorite things to be. It's very strange.
Brad, there's a whole bit on this, dude. You talk about this at all?
No.
There you go, dude. See?
Yeah, she's like, husband.
Come back. That's great,
word.
Dude.
I hate that word.
There's got to be, there's something there, too, about like the word, like, your favorite thing to be is the thing.
Yes.
Who else can, like.
Yeah, it's like if your wife would just like, blowjobs. Yeah. Like, motherfucker. Now I'm going to have to rake the leaves.
Yeah, do you think that was the same thing with, like, I don't know, Osama bin Laden, you know? Terrorist leader, can you just call me by my real name?
Yeah.
I don't do voices.
That's not exactly like Osama.
Okay, good. What Brad, what turns you on?
Free time.
Great answer.
Free time.
What turns you off?
What turns me off? I just had a... You know what really turns me off right now is people that don't know what real problems are. They get very upset over things that don't mean shit.
Yep.
And don't get me wrong, it's not because they're dumb. It's because normally they're young and they haven't experienced like that real problem yet. And I think a lot of us got that with COVID. I'm like, this is a real problem.
Right.
This is something real. And now that I'm a dad, like, it's like, I care about my wife. I care about my baby. I don't give a fuck about anything else. Do not give a fuck.
I love that. Perspective.
Yeah.
Everyone needs a glass of it.
Yeah.
What sound or noise do you love?
Laughter.
What sound or noise do you hate?
I was about to say silence, but I actually really like silence.
Yeah.
It's sometimes really fun.
The chant, you fucked up.
That made me really happy, though.
It would too, yeah.
When they did it to me, I'm like, that's really
you
great.
You made it.
The sound I hate is, the theme song to Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Mm.
Fuck that show.
Your daughter's obsessed?
Obsessed with it. And don't get me wrong, it's designed perfectly for her. There's other great Mickey Mouse shows. There's Mixed Up Adventures, great show. Racers, great show. Mickey Mouse Racers, great show. Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, fuck yourself. Oh my God, I hate this show.
Is it new or is it like
watching
old ones?
It's
Justin Timberlake
era. No, not that.
It's like cartoon. I think
it's a cartoon.
Oh, okay.
It's computer animated.
Even hand drawn.
I could explain it, but it's fucking horrible.
Yeah, we don't have time
for
that.
It's just awful.
What?
A great comic out in the Midwest, Aaron Kleber, does a whole bit on it.
Oh, really?
Google him. I don't want to, like, insult it because I'll probably step on his joke. But yeah, it's fucking great.
Yeah, because you're watching so many of these shows
with
her because you just got to be there. You can't just be like, all right, I'll come back in an hour when the show's over.
I'm looking forward to the next time I get a heckler because I'm going to use my my daughter watches this show called Esme and Roy. And I know it sounds like a late night, like they go on after Desus and Mero, but it's not
cable access.
It's like a little girl and a big monster, and they babysit baby monsters together. It's a fun,
great premise.
And part of it is they teach the kids coping mechanisms, which is so like advanced. So there's a song that Esme sings whenever a monster is having whenever they're having a tantrum, and it's like a coping song. So like whenever I'm gonna get a heckler, I'm gonna sing this coping song to them.
That's amazing.
And it's
drive fucking nuts.
So like just imagine someone's like, ah, you fucking sucker, and I'm just gonna look at them and go, take a deep breath, put your hands on your belly, feel your stomach rise and fall. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. It's not hard at all.
I'm sorry for screaming at you.
I can't wait.
I'm sorry for screaming at you, man.
It's going to be so good.
Dude, that's fucking brilliant.
It's going
to
be good.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
I'm going to get to attempt it. Sports broadcasting.
Ooh.
I'm not calling a full game, but I'm going to be calling a few plays for the Denver Broncos.
Whoa.
On the radio.
Sick.
Because you're buds with the broadcaster, right?
Yeah, Dave Logan. And I'm going to get to
fucking
call
comedy,
some plays.
Man.
Fucking comedy, man.
You
it's
need
great.
To come up with your catchphrases.
Oh, like, you know what? I'll do those catchphrases from when Ray Romano was hosting
SNL.
SNL. Sweet Sassy Molassie.
So funny.
I'll bring that one back.
Dude, Brad, you got to. I've been championing for myself to get into the booth with my boy Rick Riz, the longtime Mariners broadcaster.
Yeah.
And he goes, buddy, I just can't put my job on the line like that. And I go, Rick, unless we draft a player named Dick Boob, I'm not going to slip up.
Yeah.
I know how to be radio friendly.
Yeah, exactly. And it's such a great opportunity. And,
you're going to crush it.
And that's the job.
And sit in the booth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Or you have to do it over Zoom.
No. Sit in the booth. Yeah, I'm doing it. Probably the first game I'm going to do it. Is the Broncos Chargers game?
You'll post about it
in LA.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll
because I
post about it.
Have to listen to.
Yeah, there's gonna be probably three games where I get to try it.
Wow,
so sick, dude.
Try it.
Yeah, cut two.
By the way, Brad quits comedy and becomes a full time broadcaster.
Now I'm the new voice of the Denver Broncos.
I mean, you got the voice for it.
You really
do. That's right. I got the chops.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you can slip in, I'll give you $50.
I'm just doing I'm doing a Mark Norman impression. Do I?
If you can slip in, I'll give you $50 per slip for word slip in, and I'll up it to $500 if you actually do it. If you can find a way to make these descriptive like blunders, you know, like that guy really pulled a, if you can go like, oh, he just dropped the ball, instead of they used to say butterfingers, boy, that guy really pulled a cookie taint. Or the boy, what a titty baby, that guy. Hey, boy, hey, old Julips over here couldn't catch the ball. If you get any of those three
that
in.
That won't end my career. And that was Brad Blinn's broadcasting career.
Yeah.
And then my bio will be, it ended at Julips.
Just the
like,
way it was
mean?
Supposed to.
Yeah, exactly.
What profession would you not like to do?
Roofing. How do you get a dwarf up there? I don't know.
Great. And by the way, that's the last joke Brad will say on air the Denver Broncos game before he actually quits comedy.
And then even worse, how do I get down?
Yeah.
Horrible.
If heaven exists, Brad, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
You're on in five.
Great answer. Maybe the best answer we've had. Brad Williams at Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, at Funny Brad on Twitter. One of the best in the game. I can't wait for this 2022 announcement. Is it Thanks, coming buddy. In 22 or?
The contract's coming.
Oh, there's a contract involved. You fancy.
Oh, fancy.
I love it.
Yeah, just follow me on social media. There'll be an
announcement. And go see him live. He's one of the best in the game. I love you.
Thanks. Love you too, bro.